You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
Hey, how are you doing, Casanova?
Hey, I'm doing good, Lee. How are you?
I'm just excited to get to say Casanova because I want to sing like that song from the 80s, Casanova. But you know, probably hear that all the time, right?
I do. All good, though. I appreciate you having me on here.
Well, thank you for coming on.
All good.
And I already had somebody ask me today, they're like, why are you dressed up in a Zoom world? I'm like, because what am I going to do? Lay around in pajamas all day? That doesn't get anything done.
I love it.
What's on your shirt?
It says Evolve. So normally it's funny because normally I wear my shirts. It's called Dream Nation. And that's my podcast. But yeah, I had this shirt on and I felt that it would be a good day. So I just decided to keep it on, the Evolve shirt.
Well, all I could see was the VE, and I thought it was love. And so I guess evolve should involve love if we do it the right way.
It does. I mean, yeah, you can kind of L-O-V.
We do this.
Right. Yeah.
It's like the word scramble in the Sunday paper, right? Oh, wait, you're too young to know Sunday paper. It's okay.
No, I mean, I'm not that young. I mean, I know the Sunday paper. Now, if we start talking about the phone book, then maybe. But I think the Sunday paper, people still... They have some classifieds in the Sunday paper sometimes that has some value.
Honey, they have the obituaries. That's what I take it for, so I can see who has passed, because that's what matters. But I remember when my grandmother quit reading the paper was when she said, everybody I know has died, and these people are younger than me. And she quit reading the paper altogether because she was 92 when she passed. And she said there was no reason to look at it anymore.
Right.
All right, so, you know, welcome to my show. So this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And my audience likes hearing these conversations beforehand. So I've been recording the whole time. So, ha, ha, ha. And this, look, you're like, wait, what?
All good. I love it.
So we're on YouTube. And if you're my audio listeners, you know that we moved over to the video format earlier this year because you people like to look at people. So if you want to look at me and if you want to see Casanova, you're going to have to go over to YouTube. And my YouTube people are like, what is she talking about? There's 3 years worth of episodes y'all missed. So you should go listen on iTunes. But we've got Casanova Brooks with us today. Casanova, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So tell my people a little bit about yourself. Where are you located? What do you do? And any little tidbits they should know to know Casanova. I'm going to have to do that every time.
I love it. Yeah. So I would say first and foremost, I'm just a relationship builder. I'm here now in Omaha, Nebraska, by way of Chicago. So I'm originally from South Side of Chicago, raised by a single mom. Grandma kind of stepped in to help lead the way of being my father. So I was raised by two strong women, grew up just as a lot of people that are in inner cities. I grew up with a lack of resources, but my mind was always the one thing that I think never diminished. I always had big dreams. I always had big goals. And yeah, I would say I'm no stranger to adversity. When I was 8, two of my best friends drowned, and I was supposed to be right there with them. When I was 15, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma cancer, so I went through 2 years of chemo. Everything that, for the most part, anybody else experiences from the C word. And then... Give me 1 second, because I got my dog who's right here at the door, and normally she's not, but my son's home. And do you have an editor? otherwise, this is crazy shit in real
estate. I do have an editor, but I kind of love this because your dog hears your voice and wants your love. And I already thought your shirt said love on it. So go get your dog.
Right. CJ, put Zoe in the kennel. Thank you.
So CJ's a good listener, so that makes you a good dad. And Zoe loves your voice, which makes you a good pet dad. Those things add up to tell us something about how you came through those experiences of loss and of challenge.
Yeah, so that's what it was. And then 6 years ago, I had just moved here to Omaha, knew nobody, brand new city, state. And we moved here because I got a job. So my wife, and then at the time, my son, who's 8, in a couple weeks, he actually turns 9, but he was 3 at that time. And so we moved here. My mom and grandma called me up and they say, hey, we want to move closer to you, Julie and CJ. We want to move down to Omaha. So we say, okay, let's do it. And within 24 hours of my mom being in here in Omaha, she went to the hospital. And then within 1 week's time, I lose my mom at that hospital. Subsequently, just because of all the transitioning that I was in normal in life, I also lost my job and the home that we currently had under contract, which is our first home. So all within a matter of about 2.5 weeks, I lost my mom, my job, and my home. So that was obviously one of my darkest times in my life. But within that next 9 months, brand new to real estate, I just got my license. I did 46 deals, $8 million in volume. I got the rookie of the year here in Nebraska. And the average home price in my market is about $187,000. So it wasn't like I was slanging $2 million Malibu homes, but it's been a fun road. It's been a fun journey. And yeah, there's definitely been a lot of crazy shit in real estate.
Okay. So first of all, my heart broke when you said you lost your mom, but how grateful were you to have that last week? Right. So
well, crazy enough, when it all happened, I was actually out of town. And why that is because I was transitioning from inside sales to outside sales. Why is because I just got my real estate license. So I knew that if I was working in a cubicle from a 9 to 5, I was never going to be able to build my real estate business because I had a kid and I had a wife who still wanted my time. Right. So I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? So I went and found a job that was outside sales. Well, this job, they're a Fortune 500 company, but the way that they do it is right when you get on, before you can get an outside sales territory, they want you to go up to Rochester, New York, and then complete their training. And so I didn't want to go, but I had to because we had our first house under contract. So if I didn't go, then I would have just instantly lost the house because they were going to re-verify employment and they would say, no, Casanova no longer works here. So crazy enough, when it all happened, I was actually not even in town. Now me and my mom were talking, but it was a crazy, crazy time. And I was very close to my mom. So it was something that I definitely had to cope with. And then on the backside of that, I had my wife who was not only supporting me emotionally, but now she's supporting me financially because I don't even have a job. So I think it all propelled me to know that nothing's promised. So you can't take anything for granted. You got to go out there. You got to get it.
And there's also something to be said for the fact that you were kind of forced into success. You jumped all the way in because what option was there? And because you dove into the deep end and you wound up being super successful. So tell us what that's like. Frankly, you don't know what you're doing, right? And we know this in real estate. You go to pre-licensing school, you get your license. It doesn't tell you squat about dealing with buyers and sellers or how to make a living at this. And so you go out and you're guessing every day and hopefully you had a good mentor. So did you have a mentor and a broker who was able to backstop your knowledge and who cared, or do you have to just dig deep every day and figure it out?
No, so I really had to dig deep every day and figure it out. Now, I'll tell you, I was blessed because I was already kind of familiar with social media. So I was already building relationships and learning how to brand myself through social media, learning how to showcase my excitement. And so for me, I didn't. I was at Berkshire, and not that my broker was bad or anything like that. It just, that wasn't, like, it was very good culture, probably one of the best cultures that I think anybody could be in real estate, at least at that time. But I think that the downside of it was all about fun and games. It wasn't about here's exactly how you formulate a plan. Here's exactly how you go through that process. So for me, I mean, I remember watching hours of Tom Ferry. I remember reading Million Dollar Real Estate. I was just trying to get my hand on whatever knowledge that I could. So then when I found a buyer or seller, anybody that said, Casanova, we want to do business with you, that I didn't look like a complete dumbass, right? I would say that, like, I was like, oh, well, what are we going to do? And they're like, that was the whole reason why we hired you. So I think that all kind of helped me. But I think in the beginning, it was really about me just seeking out anything. I mean, YouTube videos, podcasts, I was looking at everything that I could to try to get some knowledge.
Right. So what are you doing now? Because obviously you've survived, right? And we know that in real estate, 85% of new realtors give up within the first 2 years because they find out it looks like fun and games, but there's a lot of fun, very few games, and a lot of hours and work that go into this. What would you say was the catalyst for you staying in and continuing your growth pattern?
Yeah, so I always said, just me particularly, that real estate has always been my what and my how. It's not been my why, right? And so that's no knock on real estate, but real estate is what I've done and how I've made my living, how I've been able to get where I am now, but it's not been why I get up every day. When I look deeper into it, like why did real estate work for me? Just like all the other things, if you looked at my background, it's really because I understood that the value is in the people. Like I wanted to make sure that at the end of the day, even if I decided, because there's something that I live by and I know it for a lot of people is hard to fathom, but one of the quotes that I live by is the moment I stop having fun with it, I'll be done with it. So the moment that it's no longer appealing to me, and the moment that it no longer gets me excited, I'm ready to move on. Whereas for a lot of people, they stick it out. They want to go through that grind. But I feel like being faced with death so many times and being faced with adversity, I know that everything is so short. So you have to go out there. You have to find what makes you come alive. And so for me, how I was able to keep going was really the people. And then also I always just tried to spread as much excitement and contagious energy as possible. And I felt like when I gave that, somehow the law of reciprocity always gave me back one, more business, but two, it gave me back more opportunity. So early on, where my mom, my grandma, my family never owned house, car, business, anything, I was able to buy investment properties. I was able to flip. And so it just kept something new, just always kept happening to where it didn't feel like it was that mundane rut of where it's like, oh my God, I got to get out of this, because I didn't want to get into real estate to just own a job.
Talk to me about that investment piece, because we know that in real estate, most realtors are panicked about investment properties because they don't understand it. They don't own them. They're scared to sell them because it's a numbers game as opposed to a, hey, how you doing game. It's a little different. And it takes a lot of guts to buy the first investment property, especially when you're, if you don't come from a background where somebody's got their own empire. So talk to us about the decision of pulling the trigger on the first investment property, how you picked it. Give us a little bit of a story on that. I know you get to tell your crazy story, but you've got like a zillion different stories that you can tell, obviously. And I'm fascinated by realtors who take that plunge because it's the serious key to a big financial future.
Yeah,
and not
absolutely.
That everybody wants to be, nobody wants to be Warren Buffett. I mean, you live near him, so you've probably seen his little ranch house. It's a really nice. Yeah. You've driven by. I think everybody's been to Omaha drives by Warren Buffett's house to see the avocado.
Yeah, they do. And it's crazy because it's not gated or anything.
He's just a regular dude. It's crazy.
He's just a regular dude. So yeah, I live probably about 10 minutes from him, but he lives in the heart of the city. So it's not like you're driving outside of the country to go find his house. I mean, his house was where we consider now West Omaha, which is the outskirts of the city. His house was that 50 years ago. So yeah, he's in the heart of it. But yeah, so as far as how I got into real estate investing, well, I think it's good to know that in the beginning, for me, I was always searching, right? I always knew I had big dreams. I always knew I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what that was. And I wound up, as I was working this W-2 job, I came across a YouTube video and this guy had said, you got to figure out a way to be the lord of your land. And I was like, oh, what does that mean, right?
Ooh.
He was like, be the lord of your land. And I was like, okay. And it struck a chord with me. And I was like, okay, I would love to be the lord of my, because we always talk about the landlords. And especially like for me, where I grew up, it was apartments and everything. So it was always, there's the landlord. So you got to figure out a way to be the lord of your land. And so I was like, okay, well, how exactly do I do that? And so I looked deeper into his story and I noticed that he had now transitioned into being a developer and all these other things, being more of an influencer online, but he started out as a celebrity realtor. And he was up in like New Jersey and he was working with affluent clients like football players and people like that. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, well, I don't know anything about investing in real estate, but I do know I could get a license and then I could help other people buy, sell, and invest. So serve them. And then by way of that, I can get my commissions and then buy the real estate myself. And so that was the whole way. Like when I first got my license, my whole goal was never to be the number one realtor in the world. It was really because I wanted to get my license so I could buy my own investment properties and I could ultimately create a life by my design. And so that was why I decided to get in. And the mindset in taking the plunge is I understood that, again, if I wasn't going to go out there and build my own dreams, essentially I was going to build somebody else's. And so if I wanted to create things like mailbox money, like every single month, regardless if you believe it or not, between the first and the fifth, there's a lot of money being exchanged, whether it's to apartment complexes, through property managers, whether it's to private landlords, there's a lot of money being exchanged. And it's never going to go anywhere because people always need a place to live. And so that was a big deal for me. And that was the reason why I decided to take the pursuit. And yeah, it was definitely everything that I wanted. And I still own property now.
So you live in one of the more affordable growing markets in the country. Nebraska has pretty attractive structure for being an investor. Do you buy just in the Omaha area or just in Nebraska, or do you buy elsewhere? What's your MO on where you buy?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I'll be honest that I have just bought in Omaha. Not that I'm opposed to buying anywhere else, but it's really all about the relationships that you have, right? So especially if you're looking to buy like multifamilies, things like that, you really got to have at least some type of a relationship with like commercial brokers, because it's a different world out there when you try to get on the commercial side. And so for me, I've been able to build a lot of relationships with people here in Omaha that I haven't necessarily needed to go outside. Whereas like if you're in California, it's such a big place, right? It's hard to know who you trust, things like that, all these other things. But on top of that, it's just also hard to invest into California, because if you're trying to buy a multifamily property, you could be looking at $2.5 million, even on something that's not very good. And then there's no cash flow in that. And how do you come up with $500,000? Right, to then try to put down on that for the 20%. And so I've been fortunate enough as well to not only have the relationships, but also be able to do it in Omaha, where it's you can get an investment property for $150,000 to $200,000. And obviously, the more doors that you put on it, it's going to go up. So I think I've just been lucky in that I haven't had to go outside of my market yet. But I'm definitely not opposed to going outside, especially because I know that there's a lot of growth going on in a lot of other areas that are not particularly the Midwest. So what that means is not only are you going to get the jobs, but you'll also just genuinely get the people, because they don't want to be in the winters and things like that, which is a benefit in itself.
So hashtag people, if you're trying to buy in California and you can't afford it, you should call Casanova. I mean, that's the lesson here. Hello, you should always know somebody in a different market, because yeah, the numbers are different. Okay, so of course the premise of my show is the crazy shit in real estate, and your life had all of its, I mean, opportunities, right? I mean, you can call right. them. Some people will wallow in it and some people decide to work through it. You decided to work through it. Now you have CJ and Zoe and your wife. What's her name?
Julie.
Julie, who, oh,
I have my daughter, whose name is Jada.
Gina?
Jada, like Jada Pinkett.
Oh, like Jada Pinkett. Oh, so she's famous too, right? Who's older, CJ or Jada?
What'd you say?
Who's older, CJ or Jada?
CJ, yeah. Jada is about to be, legit, she's about to be 3, but she's really going on 30. She's different. She's a different breed, I'll tell you.
Yeah. She's going to be an Instagram influencer, isn't she?
She's something. She's different. And I'll tell you, CJ always been a great kid, is a great kid. And he always had a lot of energy, a lot of like very smart kid. But Jada's nothing like him. They're complete opposites. She's just as smart, but she imposes her will on the world. Like, it's just different. And I'm like, oh, and no one's ever been mean to her. She's never had to experience, like, she just, from the moment she wakes up, she just imposes her will on the world. So, yeah,
you know, it's funny. Like, we love them. Hear that nature and nurture thing, and you look at your kids, and you're like, y'all came out of the same gene pool. I don't know. Right? How did the Lord create all of this? But as parents, we have to guide it as much as we can. But to an extent, you got to sit back and watch and say, What's the world going to say to this one?
Right. What happened? What do we, like, sheesh. But it's fun. It's fun. They give you both perspectives on it, and it tests your patience. It tests everything. It tests your beliefs and what you have to do. How do you treat one versus the other? All these other things. And so I love it. For our situation, both of our children were miracle babies, in a sense that it took us 2 years to have each of them, and they both came naturally. And so we went down a lot of different roads of if we were going to adopt and all these other things. So to have both of them come out naturally, no NICU, everything natural, and they've been healthy, we're very, very blessed. So I can't make too many complaints about our attitude.
No, you better just pray for her future spouse, right? So that's right. One of my prayers at night is whoever wants right. to marry my kids.
Once I'm that comes, I'm high-fiving. Yo, this is you now. So, yeah. So as far as the crazy story, do you love something to be in real estate or do you love some? I mean, I got lots of crazy stories I can
tell.
Well,
you can tell anything you want to tell, because one of the reasons I started this podcast, 3.5 years ago is too many people think HGTV is real life, and that's not real life, because in real estate, as you know, it's all about the situations we get put in the middle of, and some of them are heart-wrenching, and some of them are heartwarming, and some of them are like, oh. And so people want to see real life. And what's even better is some of the episodes I've done that are slightly to do with real estate and go all the way around the edges, people love listening to, because over half of my audience is just regular people. They're not even realtors, Casanova. They're just interested in what we do because, as we know, housing is so essential to life. I mean, it's where your kids grow up, right? It's where mm-hmm. you put the dog in the kennel, and it's the apartment complex where you see the landlord and say, I want to be the lord of the land, which I freaking love that. I'm totally going to find out what that dude is online and maybe talk to him further. And you see where you had a change in career and suddenly you can knock the cover off the ball in a town with the College World Series, by the way, which I'm very upset that we didn't have CWS this year, because that's my favorite sporting event in all of sports. And you have to take Jada and CJ to CWS because...
Yeah, CJ's definitely been. Jada has not. But again, normally when you're doing a CWS, it's 90 degrees plus. I mean, you could catch an 80 degree, but Jada... We only last about 20 minutes before she set the whole park on fire.
Yeah, but you know what? All those other fans will adopt her, because the coolest thing about CWS to me is that of all the sporting events, all the teams are nice to all the other fans, unlike the animosity that exists in other places. So I was out there a few years ago and Carolina was in and we beat LSU, which should never have happened. And my kids are all decked out in their Tar Heel stuff and all the LSU fans are like, high five, good game. And I was like, that doesn't happen anywhere except in Omaha. But anyway, that's one of the crazy things about Omaha is you have that kind of a moment, which I don't think could happen anywhere else except for Omaha, Nebraska. But anyway, if you're going to tell us a story, it's just got to be that thing that we would say over one adult beverage of, you won't believe this ever happened to me, Lise. That's what I want to hear, Casanova.
Yeah, got it. I'll tell you. Even before I say it, there's a couple of different stories I feel like I could tell. And I'm a huge Duke fan. So I feel like I had to put that
out. Hang on, how do I stop the recording right now?
Even though I'm on this platform, I feel like
Duke is the University of New Jersey in Durham. They're not part of us.
I mean, I've been a diehard forever, and I'm sure that's a whole nother conversation that we don't have to get into, because we want to keep it all positive spirit on here.
That's true, because I want you to notice what color the sky is in my background. Oh, it's Carolina blue because God is a Tar Heel. But anyway, carry on, Casanova, carry on.
We got four letters that we normally put around here.
D-O-O-K? Because that's how you spell it.
G-T-H-C. No, in all reality, so here's a story that I think is helpful to know, especially if you're in the investor world. So there's a couple different opportunities. One, let me tell you about the power of relationships. So there's a lady who I knew her. She's not in real estate at all, but she's just always been a big supporter. And every time I would see her, I would just say, hey, I would say hi, thank you, all these other things. And we weren't that close. So long story short, she winds up giving me a call and she says, hey, you know what? I got this lady that's at my church that's looking to sell her home. And she's just looking to move back to Virginia to be closer to her daughter and her grandson. And she said, there's been a lot of people, specifically like wholesalers, that in the last month or two have reached out to her trying to get her to sell her property, things like that. But she's just not really comfortable with them. I wanted to see if you would go by and talk to them. So I was like, okay. So I go by, talk. And I tell her, I just laid out there flat and clean. And I say, hey, you know, in the condition that your property is in right now, I think that you'd probably be looking to list this thing somewhere around 15,000. Now understand that, and the property was just like a little 3-bedroom, 1 slab ranch. but it had good bones in it, things like that. So I said $15,000. She was living in there. She had inherited it after her husband had passed away about a year prior. So she married this guy. They lived together for a couple years in this house. He owned it. Then she inherits it. Now she just wants to sell it and move away. So I'm like, okay. So I say about $15,000. And she says, okay. And she says, well, I've already gotten a couple offers for around like $25,000 that people would buy it. And I was like, well, I understand if you can get those offers from them, I would tell you to definitely go ahead and sell that because that's pretty good based off of the comparables. And I had all that right there with her so she could see it. And she was like, okay. And then, so that winds up being done. And about a day or two later, she says, Casanova, she said, I really love the way that you came in, that you just explained everything to me. And she said, and you mentioned that you buy property sometimes. And I said, yeah, sometimes. And she said, well, would you buy this property for me? And I said, I mean, I wasn't really planning on it, but I mean, potentially, how much would you sell it for? And she says, throw me a number. And then, so I said, okay, I'll get back to you. Well, before that end of the day was out and I ran it, for me, I was like, okay, well, if I was to buy this thing, I would have to buy it at more like $8,000. So I put in that offer. I said, if it was me, I would pay $8,000. Now, I understand that you've already gotten a couple other offers for $25,000. So it's in no way meaning to disrespect you. And she said, you know what? Just because of the energy that you have and the way that I feel like you're going to take care of this property, I'm going to sell it to you for $8,000. So she sold me this property for $8,000. I then wound up putting up $31,000 into the property. So I was like all in for, and the video for anybody that's watching this, and especially if you're watching on YouTube, I have the actual whole flipping of the property from start to finish on my YouTube channel. So it's cool to see, but anyway, I put $31,000 into it, so I was all in for around $39,000. Do you know what that property is worth today?
Do you still have it or did you flip it?
I still have it. I still have it. It's a rental.
$140,000.
I wish. No. It's worth about $103,000 today.
That's right? Solid.
So I bought this property for $8,000. I put $31,000 into it and it's worth now for $103,000. And I also rent this out for $900.
Okay, so friends, the YouTube link for this transformation is down here in the comments and in the show notes. You don't have to hunt too hard. The link is there for you. But I want you to notice the way Casanova handled this, because this is the difference between a professional realtor and somebody who has less than honorable intentions. The less than honorable intention person would have slid in and told her, you are not going to get 25. You should take my eight and be happy with it. No, what he said is, I've run the numbers and for the way that I invest and what I have to do to make this property work for me, this is my number. And I understand that you have other offers. And so it's totally your choice. There was no pressure applied. There was no game being played. There was no snaky language being used. And that's the difference, y'all. That's the difference. And that's why Casanova got this property. In fact, it's why he got introduced to this lady, because he was in friendly relationship with somebody else that she knew, not on behalf of getting the house, but because that's the way you're supposed to live life. And all of these things, if you build the relationship first, then you get to make the ask. If you make the ask first without the relationship, that's where you can put yourself in really muddy waters. And it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, it's a classic example of why doing the right thing and being super transparent still results in a win. She was happy.
Absolutely.
You've wound up with a great property, which I'm going to guess is probably one of the better opportunities at $900 a month in an increasingly expensive market. And we need more people buying investment properties in the neighborhoods where a house might cost $10,000 to $15,000 and making a good living environment for the tenant who can pay less than other tenants in a marketplace. There's a huge space for that. And I don't like to call it affordable housing because that word always brings up big images of bad, nasty government ghettos. I talk about workforce housing and housing affordability and below market pricing for some tenants, because there's a space for this everywhere because we have neighbors that need somewhere to live. We need good investors. We need more Casanova, because if you get the house, you're making a good environment for somebody else where they can raise their kids. Because CJ Absolutely. And Jada have a better chance in life because they've got a stable household with stable parents, and so they can do better in school. And if they didn't have that stable household, which you're also providing for some other family and their kids, you're giving somebody else some of the boost that CJ and Jada have. That's big. I mean, it's like ripple effect, life-changing big.
Absolutely. And so that was something that, again, just like you said, it was all about the power of the relationship. And then afterwards, and I have this on my social media as well, where she took the picture with me, the lady before she moved away. And so she's an older lady. She's probably about, I would say 70, 75, but she'd been living on her own. She was very, and it was such a great feeling. But again, I think that that's what it always comes down to, is the relationship. And I think in real estate, a lot of the times where realtors go wrong is they're so transactional. We're focused on am I going to get the next deal from? And we forget that, look, this deal right here, you could lose on. But at the end of the day, it's about that network. It's about so many other tangible benefits that you'll get out of this. And if that person was to move later on down the line, then you know you're going to be that first call because you built the right relationship. And so when people ask me, how was I able to beat the stat? Just like you said, 87% of all agents get out of the business. And that's not even talking about the ones who actually succeed at a high level. It's just the people who don't give up on their license. And so the way that you do that is really just by understanding that in this game, it's a contact sport. It's all about the relationships. And if you build off of that, I think that you'll be successful as anybody in your market or anybody around the country. But it's all about the relationships and the people.
And let's also point out, I mean, I can already guess that a big piece of your why has to do with Julie and CJ and Jada. That's a big part of any dedicated husband and dad's life. And so if part of your why is to create an environment for them so that they don't grow up to be complete and total punks, and that your wife still loves you and adores you like you love and adore her, the way that you conduct business is a direct reflection of your why. And so Absolutely. If we see people that conduct business in a less than great way, maybe it's not that they're snakes. Maybe they've lost their way. And friends, if y'all figure out why you're doing life and who you're trying to support and what kind of environment you're trying to create, it should be reflected in your business. And the transactional agents, they just haven't put two and two together that even a transactional agent is helping neighbors, but maybe they forgot that the buyers and sellers were neighbors. And
right.
Can't forget that ever. Our business is so important, and it's fun, and it's crazy, and it's really important, because look at the way you got to impact her, all because you impacted somebody else.
Right. Absolutely. I love it. Yeah. One of the last things that I'll say is, for me, this was something that was said to me early on, and I truly believe it, but it's not about what you know. It's not even necessarily about who you know. It's about what?
How you know them.
Who knows you?
Oh, who knows you? See, I'm always go deep.
You always go deep.
You went ripple effect.
Who knows you? Who's willing to put their stamp of approval on your name? And so the whole opportunity that I even got to meet that lady is because someone knew me, someone cared enough, right, about me and about the way that I conduct business to put that stamp of approval on my name, to where she had that trust to even let me in her home in the first place when other people were already reaching out and saying, hey, I'll give you more. But it wasn't as comfortable for her, of course, because maybe there was something in there that she didn't think that it would close. Maybe it was something that she didn't think that they would take care of the home. So again, you ask me, like, did I sell it? No, I still own that home. And if you go look at it and you look at the pictures, you could see that I put all new flooring in that home. I put a new roof on it. I put new siding in it. I did a lot to that home. But I think that that was probably the energy that she felt in the beginning of why I should give this home, the home that my husband bought. And I can't say built. I don't know that he built it, but he did live there a long time. But I just didn't want to make sure that I didn't want to give it to anybody. So I did take that and I made sure that I did the right thing with it. And we still have tenants in there. And it is a good area. It is a good street. And I want to say just about everyone else on the street owns their home. And so there was conversations that I had, obviously, right after I bought it, from neighbors coming out and saying, hey, what are you going to do with this house? Things like that. But it's been good. We've owned it now, I want to say 2, maybe 2.5 years. And it's been a great experience. But it all started with the relationship. So I think that that can be casted across any business. Think about it, because we're all in some sort of sales. Maybe you're not selling houses, but you're selling your service, you're selling a product, you're selling your company. It doesn't matter what it is. So always think about the relationships. And that also means that if you build the right relationships the right way, that even if you get out of that particular sale of that particular item, you can cross over to something else and still know that you have your database or you have your relationships.
And there's one more little thing there. In real estate, often almost every conversation turns into a money conversation, whether it's the amount of commission somebody's paid or it's the equity or the prices. y'all need to pay attention to the fact that this one was not about the money. I'm pretty sure she selected you to buy your house because of what you describe as your excitement about real estate. And she could see what you think and see who you are. So she picked you, not your offer. She picked you because she wanted you to buy the house. And there's a powerful story in that, especially if you're in that marketing space. And again, it's like Casanova said, it's not just in real estate, it's in anything. You're always marketing yourself because you are your brand. Do you allow people to know who you are? Because if they can see who you are and connect with who you are, you're going to find success and the money will find you. The money just figures itself out over time. We learned that the hard way in real estate, that if you focus on the relationship, the money will figure itself out.
Right. Absolutely. I would agree.
All right, Casanova. So if anybody needs a professional realtor who has excitement and has investment opportunities probably they can't find in their market and they want to learn about Omaha, Nebraska, or maybe they want to come to the College World Series next year when we get life back because, how can they reach you?
Yeah. So the number one place I would say is CasanovaBrooks.com, CasanovaBrooks. The other place is DreamNationPodcast.com, DreamNationPodcast.com, because that's where I have my podcast. And so that's where I'm always engaging. I'm answering questions. I'm bringing on people that are way smarter than me, people who have accomplished a lot more than maybe I have in some areas, and people that are willing to share their wisdom. So those are the two places that I would say. If you're specifically looking for social media, I'm definitely on all of the platforms that just Casanova Brooks, Instagram and LinkedIn being the most.
The most LinkedIn, the pressed khakis of social media. You're very active on pressed khakis. That's what I call LinkedIn.
Yeah. So I don't do a lot of posting, I'll say, but I do a lot of consuming. LinkedIn, okay. I feel like is like the stepchild right now. I really do believe it. I feel like LinkedIn 2 years from now will be a lot more developed than what it is, but you can
post. Were you going to say the little engine that could? You almost said the little engine that could, didn't you?
I was going to say the little redheaded stepchild, but I didn't feel like that was PC. So for anybody that's redheaded or a stepchild, just
we
know
still love you.
Right. I meant no harm. That's why I thought about it. But yeah, so I think that LinkedIn is coming along. I think that LinkedIn, it doesn't have the political views of things like that. And I think Instagram is still kind of the number one platform. Obviously, everybody's on Facebook, but I think Instagram and then of course TikTok, because TikTok's only putting out good energy when you're watching videos, things like that. So people love TikTok. But LinkedIn, I think it's definitely a hidden gem. And so especially for anybody who's a business-minded person, whether you're in sales or own a business or whatever, I think that your next big client, your next big relationship is right there. You just got to figure out how to navigate it.
It is a good place to do some lurking, but it's truly boring. I mean, let's just be honest about it. But I prefer boring over the angst on Facebook, people typing in all caps. That just gets old.
Yeah, for sure. No, and like I said, I think it's still coming along. But I mean, they keep releasing. I think that the thing is, they probably have the most money, though. There's people that are spending a lot of money. And once they start to open up their platform to allow people to do like real ads, like right now, everybody, for the most part, you talk about Google ads, YouTube ads, or Facebook ads. LinkedIn ads aren't really where people, but if they open that up, can you imagine? Like, that's what all of the big time professionals are. That's where you're going to find, not all, but that's where you're going to find a lot of them. So if you want to get your ad out, especially if you have a B2B service, LinkedIn is there. And then from there, as LinkedIn starts to bring in a lot more money, obviously they'll put in more features to make it a little bit more fun for people like you. That maybe they'll do something else. Remember Snapchat, they had the feature. Everybody loves Snapchat. And then Instagram, basically Facebook came in and wiped them out because they just brought. So LinkedIn, once they open up their platform, they might go in there and do something with TikTok, where on your lunch break, you can then do LinkTok. No, not really. Maybe not.
You almost said like LickTok. I'm like, that sounds like a whole different side of the internet altogether.
Right, I got to stay away. It is Friday, but I got to stay away from that.
Look, we'll let our kids do TikTok. So I'll see what Jada puts out there. I'll put Cora and get her busy on that. But I think I'm too middle-aged for TikTok. But we'll see, I guess.
No, there's no one. I mean, some of the best ones are from people who are older.
look, define best, right? So funniest, most viral might not convey to the brand and to the
maybe, but you never know until you try, right? My mom used to always, nothing beats failure but a try.
You're right. There is, what did Yoda say? There is no try. There's only do or do not do. Isn't that Yoda? I don't know. I'm not a Star Wars person, so I have to guess.
Me neither.
I don't really care for that, but it makes me odd. And you don't either, so we're both odd. And since we're both odd, that's why I'm so glad you came on the show. So Casanova, thank you for spending a little time with my audience today. Friends, I know y'all didn't write anything down because you never do. It's okay. All of his contact information, links, and subscribe post are in the show notes for this episode. Go check out the Dream Nation podcast. Subscribe. Give him 5 stars because we deserve 5 stars. And you should subscribe to this one and give me 5 stars because less than that, we cry because we seem really tough. But I mean, we're very sensitive people in real estate. And make sure that you come back for more because you never know what we're going to talk about next over here on Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And I hope y'all have a good one. We'll see you next time. As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.